Hey, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. I hope this message will bless, encourage, and challenge you to walk into all that God has for you. So I hope you're ready for it. I'm excited for you to hear it. Let's get into it.
So if you started the series, finish the series in Jesus' name. But it is God, this doesn't make sense. How many of you know that there are times in our lives when things don't make sense? When you're seeking God and there are things that happen around us and we just look at God and say, God, to be honest, this doesn't make sense. And we're going to be going through God's word and picking up different topics as we move forward. Amen? Amen. All right, so the title of the message today, actually, what we do before we get into the sermon is we pray. Can I just pray really quickly before we get into the sermon? I'll ask you to pray for yourself too. Just to say, God, speak to me. Amen? Just say, God, speak to me, that you don't leave this place having heard nothing. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We give you glory and praise. I thank you, God, that you are here. I thank you that you're ready to speak. I pray, God, that you would anoint my mouth, my God, that I would speak only what comes from you. Outside of you, God, I am nothing. I am empty and I am useless. But Lord, if your grace is upon me, my God, I may be used for something honorable today. I humble myself before you and before your people. I pray, God, may each heart be prepared to hear you. I pray, may each mind be prepared to hear you. And I pray, my God, may we take steps closer to you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we all said, amen. So, the series is called God, This Doesn't Make Sense. But the sermon today is called The Encounter. Amen. You know, on social media, especially on Twitter, there's sometimes people will put up a tweet and they will almost be asking people to share a story in, many times it has to do with a dating life. And they would say, share a story where you were treated bad. And many people would just share all these tragic stories of how they were interested in someone and how that person had treated them bad. I don't know if some of you have heard a story. I don't know if it's true or not. But there's a story where there's a man who says that he fell in love with a lady. And then he didn't go to tertiary studies, but he was working. And because he loved her, he wanted to marry her. And he began to pay off her studies. And he said, you know what, my love? I'm going to pay off your studies and you will be the educated one. I will do the business and we'll have a future together. But while she was in university, she met somebody. But she kept accepting the money from the man. She kept accepting it. He kept paying the fees. For 3 years, she was in a relationship with another person while he was paying her fees. Then at the end, when it came to graduation, he was expecting to try to propose to her. But at that moment, he realized what was going on. Now, many people in that situation, you would say, you know what? My guy, my homie, let that girl go. She's the wrong one, okay? She has problems. She's a user. She's an abuser. She's toxic. Let her go. You deserve better. That would make sense, right? That would make sense because she was given everything, but she betrayed him. She was given all opportunities. She was given gifts. She was given all she needed, but she betrayed him. It would make sense for him to leave her. It would make sense for him to leave her. And we would all say today, leave him. How many of you would say leave her? I mean, leave her. How many of you would say that? Or some of you, we'll pray for you after the service. Don't know. Everyone else, we'll pray for you guys. There's some issues in this place, I can see. But you would say leave her because she was given everything. She was blessed beyond measure, but she betrayed the one who was blessing. Church, I want to speak to you about something that doesn't make sense. When we look in the Bible, one of the first stories, when the Bible begins, we see our God preparing blessing, preparing good things, preparing a world that is perfect, and then he brings mankind on this perfect earth. He gives mankind everything they need. You know, the Bible says that Adam and Eve were walking in the garden naked. Do you know how perfect the weather must be for you to walk around naked? Like for you not to be affected for day and night. Sometimes we skip things in the Bible. The weather was perfect. The fruit was perfect. Everything that they were given was perfection. But then the very people who were given everything, the very people, us, who were given everything, betray God. The Bible says that they eat the fruit, they rebel against him, they sin. But then the Bible says something that doesn't make sense. The Bible says God comes into the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? You see, that doesn't make sense, because why is God chasing someone who just betrayed him? Why is God coming after someone who just spat in his face after they were given everything? It doesn't make sense. You see, sometimes we can point fingers to people and we say, you know, they are toxic people. And people can be toxic in relationships or toxic in friendships. But I want to ask you, could you possibly be spiritually toxic towards God? The very breath that you breathe right now does not belong to you, but you are unfaithful to him. Each beat of your heart is controlled by him, yet you still run towards the world and not towards him. But the Bible says that he still comes after us. It doesn't make sense. After each one of us was given everything we needed, it doesn't make sense. Can someone say amen? That's one of the reasons why Jesus is one of the most controversial figures in all of mankind. Because after man turns his back on God, what does God do? God says, I will give you my one and only perfect son to die for your sins. Again, it doesn't make sense. You yourself, if you gave someone all you could give and they turned their back on you, you would turn your back on them. It doesn't make sense why a God would do that. But let's look in the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Where we're going to see an encounter again from a God who shows himself to his people, who shows himself to you. And today I want to share of the heart of who God is and how he will often do things that don't make sense just to reach you. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10, it says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man called Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Can someone say amen? And when the Bible speaks of a tax collector in those days, the tax collectors were hated by everyone. Because what the tax collectors would do is they would come into a community and then they would add extra tax to the people so they could take some tax into their own pockets. Now, all the people knew that Zacchaeus was a corrupt man. Zacchaeus was rich because he was stealing from the people in the community. And everybody hated him. But a day came when Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus is going to be walking by. And the Bible says Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. Can someone say amen? Amen. You see, Zacchaeus was seeking God even though he was still in sin. Zacchaeus wanted to see who God was even though he was still in his old ways. You must know that the great thing about the Bible is that it doesn't care about where you are from. The Bible focuses on where you're going. The Bible doesn't focus on what you've done, where you've been, what people are saying about you. The Bible asks you a question: where are you going? What are you seeking right now? You see, he was in his sin, and the Bible says he wanted to see who Jesus was. And maybe you can be in this place, and you may be in a place where you are saying, I'm trying to see who God is. Sometimes you can be on a journey where you're saying, you know, I'm not the closest with God, and you know, sometimes here and there I will take a look to see who he is and who he might be. And this is what Zacchaeus was doing. Amen. Can we go to the book of John chapter 6, verse 37? John chapter 6, verse 37. Zacchaeus, a sinner, is seeking to know God, seeking to find out more about God. And John chapter 6, verse 37, it says, all that the Father gives to me. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, all that the Father gives to me and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Isn't that good news? Jesus says, if anyone who comes to me, I'm not going to cast him away. And he proved it in the life of Zacchaeus. He says, you can be walking in your sin. You can be walking in darkness. But if you come to me, I'm not going to cast you away. This is the good thing about God. This is the exciting thing about God. God is not like man. God is not like man who, if man gives you so much, if people give you a lot and you turn your back on them, they will look at you funny. But God says, even if you've turned your back on me, even if you have sinned, even if you don't take him seriously, even if you are not committed to him, even if here and there you compromise on things you know you should not be doing, even though you go to places you know you should not be going, even though you watch things you know you should not be watching, if you approach him, it's not going to cast you out. Amen. 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 So one thing about Zacchaeus was that he wanted to see God, but he couldn't. He wanted to see God, but he couldn't. Now, what was the reason why Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus? Some people would say it's because the Bible says he was short or he was small in stature. Now, some people will say, no, the reason he couldn't see Jesus was because he was small in stature. But you're not reading the verse right, because the Bible says, and he was seeking to see Jesus, but on account of the crowd. On account of the crowd, he couldn't see Jesus. I want to ask you about the crowd that you find yourself around. Does the crowd that you find yourself around help you see Jesus? Or are they always in the way? You see, the reason why Zacchaeus could not see Jesus was because there were people in his way. It didn't matter how tall or how short he was. All it took was for somebody to move. All it took was for someone to say, "Hey, Zacchaeus, do you want to see Jesus? Because you are in my circle, or I care about you, I will move so you can see him." The people in your crowd, the people you call friends, they are either in your way or they're going to make a way. They're either in your way or they're going to make a way for you to see Jesus. Ask yourself, who are the people you call friends? Who are the people you constantly spend time with? Are they in the way? When you have a desire to seek God, do they bring up going somewhere else where God is not pleased with? When you want to maybe speak about your prayer life, do they get bored when you want to speak about that? When you say, "Hey, do you want to come to church?" They would say, "No, let's rather go somewhere else. Let's rather go to the beach." What's the crowd around you? You see, on the other hand, church, I believe that we have to make sure that we are the right type of crowd. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
You have to make sure that you are the right type of crowd. You see, sometimes I want to ask you, do people struggle to see Jesus because of the way you're living? Because you refuse to move on behalf of someone else. You see, there are some believers who want to stay in their comfort zone and not move so that someone else may see Jesus. There are some people who say, "I serve God," but you're not willing to step and move out of your comfort zone so someone else can get closer to him. You see, as Faith Point Church, we want to be the type of church that will move. That will move into dark places, move into places where other people don't want to go, move out of our comfort zone so that someone may be able to see him. We want to move out of the way so people see Jesus. Are you the right crowd? Or are you in the way of someone else? Amen.
Amen.
Do you let your emotions get in the way? Do you let your feelings get in the way? Do you let your busyness get in the way of someone seeing Jesus? Or are you willing to move? Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Luke chapter 19, verse 4 to 5, the same passage. It says, "So what Zacchaeus did was he had to take things into his own hands." Church, I want you to know that sometimes no one is going to move for you to see Jesus. You see, Zacchaeus didn't have anyone around him who was going to encourage him and say, "Zacchaeus, walk through here. This is the way to see Jesus." He didn't have anyone. So Zacchaeus had to make a decision for himself to live at a higher level. Can someone say amen? If you want to be closer to Jesus, and if you want to experience more of Jesus, but you don't see anyone around you making a way, I want you to know that it's in your hands now. That you have to lift up your level. Zacchaeus couldn't see it because no one was moving. Couldn't see Jesus. No one was moving out of his way. So he had to climb a tree. He had to go higher. You see, you have to realize that it's going to be your decision. And that's point number one in the encounter, in meeting God, in encountering him. It has to be your decision. Sometimes you come to church as a family. Sometimes you come to church as a group. But I want you to know, if you want to experience him, sometimes you have to go alone.
Amen.
Sometimes you come into a group. A group of people can come into church. And different people have different reasons for being here. But you must ask yourself, why did you come? Zacchaeus had to climb by himself. He didn't say, "Hey guys, are you going to come with me? Are you going to help me?" No. He climbed up the tree. He had to take things to another level. Amen.
Amen.
You have to do it yourself sometimes. But one thing with Zacchaeus was, he climbed up a tree. Now let's look in verse 7. We didn't read this. Luke chapter 19, verse 4 to 5. It says, "So he ran on ahead. He went ahead of the people, ahead of the crowd. And he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him. For he was about to pass that way. So when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus. Now pause. I want you to realize something that maybe some of you have not noticed. That often God will call people by name without asking their name. Jesus never asked, who's the guy in the tree? Jesus looked up, he saw it Zacchaeus, and he said, Zacchaeus. I want you all to know that God knows all of you and he knows all your names. And he knows every situation and he knows how you got here. I'm not talking about your road to church today. I'm talking about since you were born to the point where you're at right now. He knows how you got here. He knows the highs and the lows. He knows the pain. He knows the frustrations. He knows the victories. He knows the times you laughed. He knows the times you cried. He knows how you got here. And you may be sitting on a tree, just coming to see God, just coming to hear something about him. You heard something about, Zacchaeus had heard things about Jesus, and he just wanted to see who he was. You just trying to find out who is God. But what Jesus does is he looks at Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, that tree, you are looking for a seeing place. But Jesus wanted to turn a seeing place into a meeting place. He says, I don't just want you to come and see me, I want you to meet me. And I want you to know today that that's the same word that God gives to you. He doesn't just desire for you to see him. He desires to meet you today. He desires to encounter you today. But it doesn't make sense, God. I'm a sinner. But it doesn't make sense, God. I always fail. It doesn't make sense for you to want to spend time with me. Rather, let me stay on the tree. But Jesus says, no, Zacchaeus. Let's look at what Jesus says. He says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Hurry up. Hurry up and get out of the position because you've positioned yourself wrong. You've positioned yourself too far away from me, God says. You've positioned yourself in guilt, God says. You've positioned yourself in the things of the past, God says. You've positioned yourself wrong. Hurry up. Get out of that place and come to me. God calls to Zacchaeus. God calls to you. And he says, your position is wrong. It's not meant to be a seeing place. It's meant to be a meeting place. I want to encounter you today. Luke chapter 15 verse 7 says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. What the Bible says is God rejoices over you. He rejoices. Each time you make a decision to say, God, I want to get closer to you, he rejoices. Heaven rejoices when you make a decision to come closer. Heaven rejoices. There is a party in heaven when you take a step closer to Jesus. Amen. Are you getting this? Amen. There is joy over you. Out of all the people who are following Jesus, after all the people who are reading his word, out of all the people who are committed to following him, going and following Jesus wherever he went, the eyes of Jesus was on the one who was unfaithful. Out of all the people who are there faithfully with Jesus, seeking Jesus, walking with Jesus, speaking to Jesus, when Jesus was in the congregation, his eyes was on the one who was unfaithful. His eye was on the one who does not seek him. His eye was on the one who is guilty. His eye was on the one who was far away from him and says, Zacchaeus, hurry up. I must be in your house today. I must spend time with you today. Enough of saying later. Enough of saying I'll change later. Today, Zacchaeus. God says today. God says today. A second lesson we learn from the story is that in Luke chapter 19, verse 7, it says, when they saw it, when they saw what Jesus did, they all grumbled. They said, he has gone to be in the house of a sinner. I want you to know that each person in this room, I want you to know that you should not be defined by the opinions of people about you. You know, many times, especially in the young generation, people like to act like they don't care what people think about them. But I guarantee you, we live in a time where people care the most about how people see you. Everyone is trying to put on an image because you want to be seen a certain way. Am I making sense to anyone today? But you have to be careful to not let the opinion of someone else become your reality. You have to look to what Jesus says over your life. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
And number three, as I come to a close, number one, we learn from the story is that if you want to see Jesus, you're going to have to go on the journey, that journey by yourself. Are you hearing me today?
Amen.
If you want to see him, you can't be waiting for someone to go with you. It has to be something that you're saying, God, I'm gonna come after you. God, I'm gonna raise my level of my standards. Amen. Number two, people were saying things about Zacchaeus. People were bringing up his past. They were saying, Jesus is gonna spend time with a sinner. Jesus, we've been following you. Jesus, we've been obeying you. But you're going to go and spend time with the one who is unfaithful. It does not make sense. The one who doesn't pray. The one in the room who doesn't pick up their Bible. The one in the room who sins and they know they continually are sinning. Why are you spending your energy on that one? Doesn't make sense. So that's a sinner, Jesus. But number three, we learn. If you want to see Jesus, if you want God to encounter you, you have to change. Amen. Luke chapter 19, verse 8. It says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Zacchaeus didn't come to a place where he was just saying, God, I just want you to be in my life, but I'm not going to change. Zacchaeus said, Lord, there are things that I've done wrong and I'm going to make them right. I want to ask you in this place, are there things that you need to set right in your life? See, if you're going to see God, it's not going to be a thing of just words. Amen. Everyone doesn't just want to have words, someone who's just going to say words to them. People want someone who's going to prove it with action. Zacchaeus said, Jesus, it doesn't make sense for you to be with me. You see, one thing about your walk with God, if you don't understand your sin, you won't be grateful to him. You won't be grateful to him if you are unaware of your own state. But Zacchaeus knew who he was. Zacchaeus knew the person in the mirror. And he said, God, my wrong I will set right. Amen. Luke chapter 19, verse 9, it says, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. You see, the crowd called Zacchaeus a sinner, but Jesus called him a son. The crowd said that this person is unfaithful. The crowd said this person does this and that. The crowd was bringing up the past, but Jesus was bringing up the future. He says, I know where I'm taking Zacchaeus. I don't care what people have said about you. I don't care where you've been, what you've done with the people around you. I know where I'm taking you. And I'm making you a son of mine. I'm changing your status. From being a sinner to becoming a child, to to becoming a son in the house. And verse 10 is what I love the most about the story. Is it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." He came to seek. You see, the Bible, the story that we just read starts off with the Bible saying Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. But at the end of the story, we realize that it wasn't about Zacchaeus seeking Jesus. It was about Jesus seeking Zacchaeus. That the whole reason why Jesus was on earth and in that place was so that people like Zacchaeus may be saved. So people like Zacchaeus may be forgiven. So people like Zacchaeus, their lives may be transformed. Their lives may be restored. Their lives may be raised up. Are there people like Zacchaeus in this place today? Are there people like Zacchaeus in this place today? Where all your life you've positioned yourself in a place just to see, but not to meet him. You're watching Jesus from a distance. You've been calling yourself a Christian, but let's be honest, you're on the tree. And you've done well to be on the tree so you can see. But there's another step that you must take. Jesus says, hurry up. Hurry up. Why do you want to be in your depression longer? Why do you want to walk in sin longer? Why do you want to keep being the person I've not called you to be longer? Why do you want it to happen for another day? Why do you want to be that person for another week? Why? Hurry up! I must be in your house today. Today I believe God did not just bring you here just to be invited into a church service. I believe God is saying for many people in this place, he wants to meet you. He wants to encounter you. Now, if you've been in this place and you've just been listening to me and you feel like you relate to being in the place of Zacchaeus, you know it's you. I want you to again remember Zacchaeus made a decision by himself, an independent decision. Wasn't about who he was around, wasn't about his crowd. But he knew, I have to meet Jesus. And maybe you're in this place today, and just as I've been speaking, you know that you need to meet him. You know he's from the distance. If you're honest with yourself, you say, have I met him? Is my household a meeting place of God? Where I stay, is that where do I meet him? And if not, you're on a tree. God says, stop wasting time. Can we stand on our feet together? Come to the end of the message.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I just want to ask you to please subscribe and write a review about what you heard, about what you liked, and maybe even something you'd like me to speak about in the future. And also, please just share it with someone else who you know would really enjoy it, or someone who would really just be blessed by the episode, or maybe just the whole podcast. Please, let's just spread word out about it. But once again, thank you so much. I hope you have a great day, a great week. I hope you're doing well. Stay tuned because there's so much more to come. Take care. God bless.